We plan to talk through the issues faced by startup founders and the people close to them.
That overused phrase, work-life balance.
It is an amazingly focusing time.
This is what we do, you know, aside from our families, this is our whole work life.
I am also known as Dr. Wine.
You know, this is a little bit non-traditional.
A little more zen in the startup life. Founder.
Those days were a mental struggle.
I have been stressed in the past, and I know that I will be in the future.
A founder and his or her significant other will both get value from the episode.
Okay, we're recording. let's do this thing. It's been a while. It's been like weeks and weeks.
Right. You recorded a bunch of interviews over the last few months. And then I think I wonder if the Zen Founder audience is maybe missing hearing from us a little bit. So we thought we'd do a little midsummer updates episode. And originally the Founder Origin series was going to be, what, 6 or 7 episodes? And then you found a few more founders that you wanted to interview.
Yeah. So we're 5 in, I think. And we have 3 more to go that are scheduled and that I'm excited about. So yeah, we'll be bringing those to you over the course of the next few weeks. I'm not going to release their names yet because they're not like recorded and solidified. So I'm a little bit scared about promoting them until I have the recordings in hand.
Yeah, probably a good call. So aside from that, what have you been doing with all of your free time?
I don't think I know what that is.
Yeah, you don't have any free time. So you've been hustling this summer. You launched 2 tribe groups, Zen tribe groups. For people who aren't familiar with what's going on with Zen Tribe, you want to give a little background?
Yeah, so Zen Tribes, this has been so exciting and fun this summer. So this was a scheme that Corey Miller and I talked about over a very long guacamole-rich lunch at a Mexican food place back in Oklahoma City in the spring. And over in our conversations with founders, you and I have these conversations, Corey has them. Everyone who's really talking to a lot of founders has conversations in which the topic of like isolation or the heaviness of doing this alone comes up. And I hear this all the time in my conversations. And then in my life as a psychologist, I know over and over, the research is so clear that the most important kind of protective factor is what we call it, but the most important superpower that you can have to try to mitigate or protect yourself from the stresses of life is a strong, supportive community. So Zen tribes are sort of our answer to the problem of isolation among solo founders or even small partnerships, and the need for people in general to have strong connections to each other in order to thrive and do well in their lives. So it's an 8-week group that is a small group of, you know, founders, 8 to 10 people, including the facilitators. And the tribes are facilitated by me along with a co-facilitator who has lots of years in the entrepreneurial world. So Corey Miller from iThemes is co-hosting one of the groups, and then Sean Hesketh from WP101 is co-hosting the other group. And they've been going really well. It's kind of curated content. So we spend a part of our 90-minute meeting time talking about, you know, a topic that I've pre-prepared and to bring to the group. And then we spend a chunk of time doing updates and some reflection together and really just forming some really high quality relationships.
That's super cool. And the thing that I was impressed with was you launched one group and it sold out so fast that you opened a second and sold that out as well. So that's it shows that there's demand for this type of stuff, you know, that people are all in on this type of accountability and just community.
Yeah. And I think we're asking the right questions within the groups. I think they're going really well. So obviously I'll get more feedback as the summer goes along and we get further into the curriculum, so to speak. But so far I'm really energized and excited about what we're offering people.
That's fun. And you've been enjoying running the groups as well?
I have been. Yep. I really like talking to people. So I'm probably in the right field talking to people, but probably even more so listening to people. So, you know, I'll sit in a room and write or think or whatever, but it doesn't feel meaningful unless I'm, or until I'm engaging with somebody else.
Yeah, that makes sense. And on that note, you've also been working hard on getting a couples retreat together. And you're planning that for here in Minneapolis in, is it August?
It's not in August. That would stress me out. It's actually the last weekend in September. And I hope you actually have it on the calendar since you are helping facilitate it.
Indeed, I am. Since I'm not organizing it, I don't know the exact dates, but I do know that it's blocked off on my calendar.
It is on your calendar.
And it sounds like there are still a few spots available.
Yeah, we had a great launch and a couple of people jumped on it right away. But we do have a few more spots left. So if it's something that folks who are listening are considering, get in touch with me because we'd love to have you.
What's the elevator pitch for the retreat? I mean, we've said couples retreat, but what is the, you know, as you've been talking about it and it's kind of firming up in your mind, what do you see as kind of the value and who's the person who should consider coming to this?
This is another answer to a problem that I talk with founders about all the time. It's how do I balance my family and my business? How do I make sure there's enough time for everything? How do I know I'm basically doing enough to take care of all of these really important parts of my life? The other thing that we know pretty clearly is that entrepreneurship, founding a company is a shared experience. Even if your significant other isn't deeply involved in the business, they share the stress, they share the worry, they share some of the excitement. And so we wanted to carve out time to talk about the unique relationship challenges that go along with being a founder. So this is a very small community. It's 15 people or 15 couples, I should say. We want it to be a balance of rest and relaxation, connecting with your partner, as well as some helpful tips, some sort of advice from experienced couples, some sort of psychological information and hacks, I guess. And then just some time playing together. I won't give too much away, but there are going to be some really fun activities planned that I think will do a lot to help create some friendships and community among the group of people who are attending.
Yeah, that's cool. That's exciting. And that's your first in-person event that you're throwing, right?
Yeah, it is.
That's fun. So if folks want to learn about that, do they go to a website or they email you directly?
Yeah, the website. So this is another thing that we've accomplished this summer is to launch a beautiful, newly designed version of the Zen Founder website. So there's lots of information about the couples retreat, about the tribes by going to the website, and you can sign up for the couples retreat. You can also sign up to kind of be early on the information in terms of next tribes that are starting. So check out the website, or if you want to email me, that's fine. I'd be happy to hear from you.
So all that, plus you're writing a book.
Oh yeah, there's that.
How's the book been going?
Surprisingly well for all the other things that are going on. I've had a really great writing discipline this summer, just carving out a couple hours, 3 mornings a week. And I also am working with a writing coach, which is so incredibly helpful. She's super, super supportive and also like busting my chops if I'm late. So we're working through a chapter each week and the book is solidly halfway done, and the chapters that are finished, I'm really proud of. Like, I'm excited about this and the opportunity to get all of these thoughts and insights that have been accumulating for all of these years to get them out in one place.
Yeah, it's so rewarding to put time into a big project like this and you're making such notable progress on it. I've been reading through drafts and adding stories and tweaking copy and just doing things like that. And it's pretty impressive. I just know that you're getting up every morning. You have that writing habit right now. It's pretty cool.
I just need a title.
Yeah. I think that'll come around. I think we haven't even sat down and tried to brainstorm one yet.
Yeah, that's coming soon. The gist is that it's mental health for founders. That's not a very sexy pitch, but that's the gist.
No, it's a staying sane while starting up. Don't burn up in the launch. You know, it's
those are the titles of all of my talks.
I know. Cool. Well, anything else? Any more updates for the summer?
Well, there's a lot coming up that I want to talk about, but maybe we can hear from you first and then we'll talk about the future.
Yeah, for sure. So I've been listening to the founder interviews, founder origin stories as they come out. I did not hear them, obviously, when you gave them or any time before they were published. And I've been pretty impacted by a few of them. Dan Martell's, which was the first one, was, I think, the best interview I have ever heard you do. It was just a back and forth that pulled me so deep into it. You know, it pulls you as the listener into this world and into Dan's story. So if you're listening to this and you didn't hear the interview with Dan Martell, I thought that was phenomenal. And Dan just has such a tough story growing up. And it sounded like he talked about things he hasn't talked about in a while or in public or, you know, whatever it was. But it was a big deal. So I think that was certainly one of the best episodes of Zen Founder I've heard. And I think, you know, of all the interviews you've done over the years, both with Zen Founder and other projects you've done, it was really impactful how you handled difficult parts of that story and just how you would come back with the right question. You know, it's pretty cool. Then the other two that I really enjoyed were Jason Cohen's and Brian Clark's. Brian has not such a tough story, but he talks about being adopted and dealing with that and becoming a lawyer and struggling with that and kind of finding his way to where he is today with Copyblogger. And then Jason Cohen, I've just always been curious. I've always been a fan of his and really impressed with his business prowess and his startup chops. And so to hear where that came from and to hear like, oh, you had pretty well-adjusted, like well-educated parents. It's like that makes sense. Like, cause you're pretty well-adjusted and very smart. You know, those were my three favorites.
Yeah. I had such fun doing these interviews this round. Everyone that I did an interview with was really thoughtful and reflective, and I think really, really came to tell their story. Andrew Warner was a little hard to rein in. I'll be honest. I would say this to Andrew too. He just has so much to say about everything that it was hard to keep him on track, but he's really fun to talk to. So I really enjoyed doing the interview with him. I also had some key moments in my interview with Chris Lemma where I almost was like, is this pushing this too far? Am I being too direct? Am I pushing him too much? But he's such a great sport and is so good at is good at being honest and tolerated me asking him if the way that he deals with relationship could be like construed as manipulative. You know, I just pushed him a little bit and he was really, really gracious, and I thought it was also a really good conversation.
Yeah, I agree. That was a good one as well. Other than that, for me, I have been working from a variety of locations this summer. We were in Stockholm a few weeks ago, worked from a dorm room in Chicago for about a week. And it's actually been, I always find that I have a lot of creativity and inspiration when I am varying my work location. So I've definitely enjoyed having the flexibility to go mobile, but still get stuff done, right? Not sitting around kind of on a beach, but enjoying fun places and still able to get work done.
And you were working from a dorm in Chicago as you accompanied our oldest son to a cello institute. So that was really cool that you could do that with him.
Yeah, it was nice. It was good. Good to spend the time there with him too.
So what's occupying your brain this summer?
Well, I mean, you know, obviously work is always has a place there, but on the side, I always enjoy like learning, ravenous learning. And so I've been reading a bunch of books, about probably one a week right now. And most recent couple that have impacted me, well, probably over the past 3 months, I've listened to a bunch, and like some I wind up bailing on halfway through because they're just not great. But some really have, you know, an impact on me. And a couple of them that did, one was Endurance. It's subtitled Shackleton's Incredible Voyage. And it's about this expedition in like 1910, 1915. And they tried to be the first group of humans to go across the Antarctic. And it is incredibly intense. And you cannot believe that, I don't want to spoil the ending, but it's a happy ending in essence. And you just can't believe the determination of these men who are trapped on the ice. And I kept waiting for them to like mutiny or go crazy or, you know, just be, I don't know, I just feel like you'd be hopeless in that situation. But they weren't, and they all kept journals, and there's a lot of the, you know, this story is taken from those. And so I was both captivated by the story, but I was also just inspired that these guys were sleeping in wet sleeping bags in, you know, 25-degree weather, 20-degree weather, and they just did it. And they did it, they were out there for 18 months or 2 years or so. It's some insane length of time for them to get back. And they were killing their own food on the ice. I mean, just incredible. You just can't believe it's real, you know? So that was definitely a lot of impact on me.
It sounds like a really good story and very cold.
Yeah, it was cold. That was the thing the whole time. You're just cold listening to it. And the bummer is, like, they really, I searched for a movie about this because I think it'd be just a fascinating, you know, story. And there's just some low budget movie that was put out like 12 years ago. And I don't even want to watch it because I have a feeling it's not gonna compare to the actual, you know, the book version. And then the other book I've been reading that's really been resonating with me, and it kind of affirms the whole hypothesis I've always had about not... Like, I used to never be on Instant Messenger at all. Like, today it's Slack, but it used to be AIM and ICQ and all these things. I just wouldn't do it when I was coding. And I would say, if you want to call me, if you have something urgent, then let's schedule a phone call, or we'll do, if it's an emergency, we'll do a phone call. But I don't want to sit there and have people pinging me every few minutes. And I've always disabled my email alerts and all that stuff. And so there's this book called Deep Work. And a lot of folks probably listen to it. It's by Cal Newport. And it's kind of making the rounds. But just every chapter, I'm like, yes, exactly. This is why we built Drip to not, like, you know, the company Drip with the employees, to, like, we don't interrupt each other in general. Like, if it's something's urgent, then you Slack. And if it's not urgent, then you email. And I know email is like this, considered this bad thing these days. And people are trying to do away with email, the emailless corporate culture. And I think the emailless corporate culture is terrible for makers. Like, you cannot create, you can't go deep into your zone when you're being interrupted constantly. And it sounds simple, and like everyone nods their head, but then everyone goes back in and logs into Slack and is pinging everybody instantly for stuff that they really can wait for. So I'm trying to figure out how to, you know, kind of recommunicate this, because this is something that I've, you know, long held in, both as a public and a, you know, a private, like inside my own companies, a belief for those things. But it's really resonating and kind of igniting me to revisit these things, both in my own life and in the life of my team, and to try to figure out, are we really upholding this concepts of deep work, or are we allowing things to creep in?
Yeah, I feel like there's like a whole podcast series about this that we could do when we're done with origin stories, in terms of how people work well. And I mean, particularly, I feel like I talk to so many people about Slack right now, and really allowing yourself to have the space to organize the kind of work environment that you need in order to really get meaningful work done is much easier said than done. So it sounds like deep work has really yielded a lot of good ideas for you, or at least confirmed things that you were already thinking.
Yep, that's where it's resonating with me. It was all the stuff that I don't think I've learned anything new, but it's lending scientific evidence to things that I had already picked up on. And it's, I think, convincing me to revisit this and try to optimize this for myself and my team. And then the last book is The Strange Case of Origami Yoda.
Oh, jeez. Why are you talking about that here?
I'm just kidding. We listened to it. So to give a listener an idea, we drove to Chicago as a family, and we said, pick an audiobook that we'll all listen to together, so that we're not all four of us staring off into space listening to our own individual audiobooks, you know, with earbuds. And so that's the book we listened to. I will not talk about it here, but I just thought it was funny. It's the one, like, kid book I've listened to in the past few years.
It was ripe with eye rolls, but fine.
Yeah. So back to you. You know, we were talking before the podcast. You said you felt like you have a lot of kind of challenges that you've been facing, or, you know, are going to be facing, and then, you know, recent victories and such. What are some of the challenges that you've been seeing?
I feel like you chuckle every time we talk about this, because it's so the journey of the entrepreneur, like, that I'm now becoming a founder by really taking Zen Founder to the next level. But it's all of the same things that I talk to people about all day, every day. So the challenges of really, you know, diving deep into something and really trying to get a lot done fast. I'm trying not to be like super obsessed, you know, trying not to like put the kids to bed and just run to the laptop or multitask my family, which are things that I obviously talk a lot about not doing. So trying to squeeze time from the day is certainly super challenging, and being really protective of my time, which is hard. I think another thing that I'm really thinking through is like understanding what phase I'm in as Zen Founder grows and we add more services, wanting to be strategic about what I say yes to and what I say no to, and being really careful about how I order the things that I'm doing to make sure that I'm like optimizing for time and maximizing the kinds of experiences that I have, so that I'm really, really good at what I'm offering, if that makes sense. So one of the things that I'm doing is hosting some retreats. The couples retreat is one. I'm also doing some private retreats for, you know, for businesses who are bringing me in to help them do a retreat with their leadership team or their executive team. And I've obviously been thinking about and talking about retreats on the podcast for several years. I wrote the ebook about that a couple of years ago, but how to transition that from an individual solo founder to incorporating a whole team or a group. The things that I'm learning as I go, and I'm enjoying having the opportunity to, you know, start small with organizations that I'm really familiar with and have strong relationships with, and then really develop that competence to be able to bring that to, you know, larger organizations, or just have that be something that Zen Founder does really well and does broadly. And getting back to the challenge of time, that's always going to be the problem for me, is that I have varied interests and lots of commitments and lots of demands on me, both personally and professionally. And so I find myself doing things that I have to get done in a finite amount of time. So sometimes I'm trying to be really aware of rushing, because sometimes I can just shoot off an email without, you know, without really thinking about wording and being careful about how things sound, but also just driven by the need to just ship and get things out and get things done and let things be good enough. And so I'm finding my balance with that, certainly this summer.
Yeah. So it sounds like, what's funny is the very first part you said, over-focusing on your work because you have so much to do and you don't want to rush to your laptop. And then the last part sounds like lack of focus or inability. It's hard to get focus because you have so many things pulling you in so many directions.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I wouldn't say it's lack of focus, because I feel like I'm actually being very strategic about how things fit together, but it's purely lots of tasks that are squeezed into the time that the kids are busy and still needing to run a household and still needing to strategize how kids get to school and what kids are doing, you know, like the kind of executive function or planning burden of our family lands pretty heavily on me. So there's a lot of cognitive load that is already committed. So it's not about not being focused. It's more about being really focused in each moment on each task, knowing that I have to quickly transition to another task.
You think the planning, the week-to-week planning, lands heavily on you? I feel like you and I sit down on Sunday night and we figure out where the kids need to be, and then we communicate that between one another as well as to our nanny who helps pick them up. Is it travel or is it day-to-day?
Yeah, I'm not talking about the logistics of the day-to-day, but the burdens of, like, where is our son going to go to school next year? And it's the bigger picture, like, our kids do music. That's wonderful. They don't do anything physical. We need to do something about that. So I've researched, where are the martial arts studios? I mean, I feel like you're challenging me a little bit in public in a way that...
No, I want to get at what you mean, because when I think of, you know, logistical stuff, I feel like we do that together, and you cover the kids and I cover the kids and everything. But that makes sense. Both of those examples are perfectly valid. You went after the martial arts thing for sure. And I think that's a good call.
So it's been exciting to launch the groups. It's been exciting to launch the new website. I think it's great to see a lot of things moving forward and hopefully, like, a lot of people being helped by the work that we're doing. I think another thing that's been really satisfying lately is cultivating really great working relationships and working partnerships with Corey Miller, who's helping. We're doing the tribes together, and Sean Hesketh and Kareem Maruki has been really helpful. He's the CEO of Crowd Favorite. He and his team have, you know, helped with the website and kind of the marketing and branding of Zen Founder. So I have always done well in a team. I'm definitely a team player. I get lots of energy from other people. And I think that's one of the things that had to happen for me to start doing more with Zen Founder, is that the team had to go beyond you and I in the podcast and needed some kind of fresh energy. And that's really been something that's flourished this summer in a really positive way.
Yeah, I can tell. It's really had a positive impact both on your, I think, on your ambition for what Zen Founder can be, as well as, like, your motivation to just dive in and get things done. And you've tackled the, you know, you think about the volume of stuff you're tackling all at once, and it's pretty impressive that you're keeping it all together and making progress on all four things at once, plus the podcast, all five things at once.
Yeah, I mean, I think you and I had to sort of take honest stock of what kind of time you have, which isn't a lot. And I think you're already busy with your business. And so you being the the other person for growing Zen Founder hasn't really been something that's feasible. And I think for a long time, I wanted that to happen. So I was sort of waiting around like, oh, when you sell drip, it'll work better, or when this and when that. And I think it probably won't ever happen. Like, you'll do things on the side when I need you, but generally I have to drive the bus, and I need some other teammates that aren't you in order to make this successful.
So we're diving into the rest of the summer. Got another, month or two, I guess, depending on how you count. WordCamp Minneapolis is coming up here in the next week or two.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Home team advantage.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
So you are actually moderating the panel. We're kicking off WordCamp on Friday morning with a panel about mental health. So Corey Miller and I, along with Ed Finkler, who is the director of Open Source Mental Illness, we'll be taking the stage and talking about wellness and sanity in the WordPress world. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, that'll be good. And then we head out of town for a week. We go to California, right, for beach vacation with friends.
Yes. So looking forward to being back on the West Coast.
Yeah. We're going to be staying in the same town where we used to have our beach apartment. So it's a very familiar, it's kind of like, I was going to say it's like a second home, but it's almost like a first home. It's like going home. You know, there were parts of that, of Shell Beach, that I considered more home than I did at Fresno.
Oh, I totally agree. It's like my heart's home. Yeah, it feels very much like going home.
And then September, we're going to Boston for Business of Software.
Yeah, I feel like September we hit the ground running. I'm really excited to be giving a talk in Business of Software. So I'm already working on that, collecting my stories, collecting my resources, thinking about my slides. So if people are listening and are going to be at Business of Software and want to hang out, then get in touch with us. And then also in September, I hope to be launching 4 tribe groups. So we're going from 2 over the summer to 4 in the fall. And that's going to get, I think, really fun and interesting. We have the couples retreat the end of September, and then we jump into October, where Your Converted is happening here in Minneapolis, the same week that Cabo Press is happening.
Yeah, which is a bit of a bummer. I would prefer to do both.
I know, right? It is a bummer. Guess which one I'm going to, though.
Cabo. I think Cabo's going to win on this one.
Yeah, sorry.
And I'm going to be hanging around here.
Sorry, Drip. Sorry, yeah. Lead Pages.
We won't hold it against you.
And then jumping into November, you just finalized, since we were last on the podcast, you finalized dates and location for MicroConf Europe. And that's going to be middle of November in Lisbon, Portugal.
Yeah, I would have preferred to have dates nailed down earlier, but this kind of stuff just sometimes takes a long time when dealing with a new hotel. So very excited to have that nailed down. We've already started selling tickets. If you're interested in coming to Europe or, you know, already there, head to microconfeurope.com. You can buy tickets right now. There's still, I don't know, 20, 30 left. So should be a good time.
Well, we hope that you all are having a fabulous summer as well. We'll bring you, after this episode airs, we'll bring you at least 3 more founder origin stories, and then we'll launch into whatever's coming next on Zen Founder. So if you are interested in the couples retreat or in joining a Zen tribe, then head over to zenfounder.com. All the information is there. If you want updates on all the craziness and all the things we're doing right now, you can sign up for our mailing list also at zenfounder.com. And if you want to check out MicroConf this year, or want to just, you know, hang out with us in Europe, then head over to, what is it, microconfeurope.com?
Yep.
That's where you can find us.
We'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Zen Founder. Our theme song is A New Beginning by bensound.com, used under Creative Commons.